Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, what's up? This is That Rat Danny, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out over at the bootleg at Atomic Cowboy with Danny Blaze.
What up?
Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thanks, dude.
But,
third time?
Third? Four. We did, right? Then we did a Jackal Fest preview. We did a EP party, and we did your first one at Limp. So,
oh, that's true.
Yeah, so this is your fourth appearance.
You're right.
Yeah.
Fourth time. Fourth time is the charm.
Yeah. But, yeah, man. Yeah, I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of things happening for you personally and for the band and stuff. But, yeah, we just one-on-one tonight.
Yeah,
a little hangout. Yeah, we got a big party coming up I want to tell you about on January 6th over at the Ready Room. And it's going by That Rat Fest with put on by Danny. And we got Bruiser Queen, Brotherly, and the Leather Jackals, Old Souls Revival, and Rover for $10.
Over $10, dude. Yeah, not too bad. Death to 2016 is like the joke.
Yeah,
that's what we're kind of going for. Since it's a week after New Year's, that'd be funny.
Sure,
it was a gnarly year for a lot of reasons. But yeah, so that's kind of another little fun angle we're playing up. And yeah, it's just gonna be cool to take over the Ready Room.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be good.
Have you played there yet?
Brotherly has played there, I think, like two times, maybe two or three times. But it's been a few years.
Yeah.
It was a while back. I think that we just picked up some like. We might have opened for Blackfoot Gypsies and done something else there, but we've never done like more of a headline position, or we've never thrown a show there for sure.
Yeah.
So this will be the first time I've ever set anything up at the Ready Room.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm excited about that.
Right on.
Kind of like, you know, new terrain. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So yeah, it's exciting.
It's a great room, man. Be a fun night. So, and of course, you bring in all the homies, all the friends.
Yeah,
Bruiser Queen. We just played last night, right?
Yeah. I was talking to Jason about holiday stuff, and they always do like the 12 bassists of Christmas.
Yeah.
And well, anyway, just to even backtrack before that, we were just trying to link up. We haven't played a show with them in like at least a year. It might be closer than that, but we went through a little run of Brotherly Bruiser Queen shows, and they took us out of town one weekend, and so we just kind of missed them and wanted to do something now that it's been a while. And, you know, both bands have new records out and stuff. And but, yeah, so they were going to make something happen holiday show-wise and do the basis of Christmas. And then they decided to do something different. They had a four-piece instead. They have a keyboard player and a bass player full-time now. And that was rad. So this was their holiday show.
Oh,
Belmar Hall was just nuts. Right. Have you been there yet?
Yeah, man. I'm
crazy.
Yeah, I went opening night for Stir.
Cool.
And which was just an incredible evening.
Mm-hmm.
I get to take it all in a little bit, and it's a beautiful room. Really, I like the way it laid out a lot. And I like the fact that the bar is in the back, like separate from the venue and stuff.
Yeah.
But I also went there for Here Come the Mummies, and
cool.
And it was nice to get more of that full band sound. I mean, obviously, Stir was definitely rocking, but like hearing the horns and everything, you know, getting a full funky show going on. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the production there is nuts. It really is. So we spent a lot of time there with them yesterday and hanging out and just kind of like, you know, enjoying the whole experience. Like, the facility is just incredible. I mean, everything from like the green room all the way back to the front bar area. So the idea was kind of like, you know, let's do something cool and fun with Bruiser Queen. We haven't done that in a while. That seemed like a fun event. I'm finding it more of a challenge to get creative with shows these days because I book a lot, you know. So it's like, well, my ideal list of bands, who would I want? You know, I asked if we could have if I could just set up a show at the Ready Room. Since I've been booking here at Bootleg, I've been getting kind of a little pull there. You know, you get a little bit of an in and you see what you can do with it, I guess. So I'm just, you know, these bands are all either it's everybody that Brother Lee, Old Souls, Rover, we were all featured for Jackal Fest. We all played that event. And then Bruiser Queen couldn't play Jackal Fest. They were on tour, I think, or something. So, to me, I wanted a band that was, you know, bigger than us, but not too big to play with a bunch of local bands, you know?
Yeah.
Also, just wanted a bunch of people that I all know well, a lot of bands that are, like, hardworking and interested in promoting and, you know, just, if nothing else, being, you know, responsive and ready to commit, ready to promote, ready to just, like, you know, come with a good attitude and, like, excited about it. You know, I'm trying to make it something fun for everybody. So, hopefully everybody's as excited about it as, you know, our band is. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great lineup. I'm stoked that we got who we got. It's going to be fun. Four bands. It's pretty, you know, relatively, like, straightforward, kind of just, like, 45-minute sets and boom, boom, boom. Everybody will just get their time and it'll be fun.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be that'd be a good one. So yeah, again, I guess, we're doing, or is cash at the door? You got tickets online?
Mm-hmm. There's a ticket fly available through the event online. It's 18 and up. We weren't able to do all ages, which seems fine because really the only people that I hear that are trying to go see us are over 18. We have some underage kids who chime in like on our social media and want to know when we're having an all ages show, which we don't really do very much.
Yeah.
Just given the nature of where we play, you know, it's usually some bar somewhere where right. They just don't allow minors.
I went to see Funky Butt.
Cool.
For Funky Butt Brass Band they did a Christmas show over at Off Broadway.
Oh yeah.
And they're the same way. They play a lot of bars.
Yep.
I mean, they do some festival things, some you know, various things, but there's not often a lot of opportunity for them to play for kids and
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
And but they did a Saturday afternoon matinee show at like 3 o'clock,
cool.
And they had for their holiday show.
Yeah.
Their Brass Extravaganza, and they
cool.
So all it was kids and their parents, you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. That's awesome.
And they did, like, you know, they obviously catered a little more towards the children. They had Santa there. They had the Grinch.
Cool.
But anyway, it was just great to see these kids that are like, we're loving it. I mean, they were obviously playing like songs that those kids knew for like Christmas music, like
sure.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, and stuff like that. But like, anyway, it was just really great to see planting that seed for young kids
for sure.
Like loving live music and
absolutely.
So maybe something in that. Maybe you do a. Maybe throw an all-ages Jackal Fest show.
That'd be cool.
Or Brother Lee show. And
well, and I also work at School of Rock, so I have a definite, like, you know, day-to-day connection with, you know, younger musicians, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I teach drums part-time and Baldwin, and I also teach a class in Kirkwood with a lot of other local St. Louis musicians. A lot of us work at School of Rock. But, yeah, I have some School of Rock students and, you know, kids that I see around school all the time, and they're into the band and they want to come out, and again they're just you know, too young, so it's funny because we could swing 18 and up,
right.
But you great, you like basically like test out, you graduate out of school rock once you hit 18. Yeah. So all those kids can't go anyway. So it's like, I tried.
Yeah.
We got it 18 and up. So some 18, 19, and 20 year olds who were at least, I guess.
Yeah. There's, I always think too, there's this great line in, Will Hogue wrote a song called Even If It Breaks Your Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a line where he says, I was old enough to get there, but too young to get inside.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was just a great image of, you know, being at 16, 17, whatever. And, you know, you,
for sure.
You can drive, you're sort of, you know, you're getting a little more freedom as an adult. But
absolutely.
But you can't go to these shows, you can't get into the bar and stuff. And
Man, it happens quick. I remember being too young to go to a show. I've been playing out since I was, like, 15, so I remember playing so many bars and just with the big red X on my hand, and you can't go over here, you can't do anything. Obviously, you can't drink. But it doesn't really matter, you know? So consumed with the live music aspect of it, it's funny. I was never trying to get away with anything anyway. Yeah. I just wanted to go.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, and then once you're old enough to go, it's just like, you know, it all kind of registers. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So that's going on. Like I said, January 6th, Ready Room, $10. Get you in the door, and it's going to be a good one. But you're doing like you're saying, man, you're booking over here bootleg. You've been hustling, doing great things. You got you're doing That Rat Mondays now. It's your weekly show. You're featuring all sorts of friends around the around the community. And how's we've had Gavin was just here, a friend of the show.
Yeah, Gavin M. just came through. Yeah, it's been interesting. I've been doing it for, well, the whole venture started whenever I did Jackal Fest, which was in July. I shouldn't say I did it. We all did it.
Yeah.
Jackal Fest was a big collaborative sort of thing. We had tons of bands, this and that, whatever. So here at the Bootleg, they liked what we did with that on a Saturday on kind of a random weekend in July, and they saw what we were able to do just with the...
It was pretty short notice, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it came together pretty quick. We did it within, like, 3 weeks or something. So after that, it was kind of like... I think that was just how I started to gain more of a relationship with people around here and, you know, get to see people more and meet more people. So they started asking me to do more and more stuff around here. So they offered me to book Mondays, and that was just kind of like my first task. Like, okay, we got nothing's really working on Mondays. We don't want to open up the venue side on a weeknight and, you know, run production and book a whole thing. We just need entertainment on Mondays on the bar side. Here's the PA. We can do this. This is what's been done in the past. You can do this. Some people do this. And so it's just been like, you know, an opportunity to get creative. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of just like trying a variety of different things, seeing what works, seeing what people like, seeing what the staff likes, seeing what turns out better, you know, when people come out. So it's fun. It's turned into mostly just like singer-songwriters, but the DJing aspect of it has been really fun. This is something that Drew Jameson, who's my boss, he encouraged that. He's like had this idea like, you have a band come play, and then they will pick all the music before, during, and after their performance. Well, I guess in between their sets, you know? And so it's fun. You know, you get, like, someone like Gavin, who played the other night, did a great job. So you have, like, this live element to it. But it's also really appropriate for just the atmosphere. Like, plenty of room. The Atomic Cowboy on a Monday is very different than it is on almost any other night of the week. Definitely very different from like a Friday or Saturday. So it's cool. You get a lot of people. It's a lot of industry crowd. A lot of people that are there just to kind of have their Friday night because they work weekends. So Mondays and Tuesdays, I've never been in the service industry myself, but being in, you know, being a musician and doing what I do, plenty of friends who are in the thick of it, you know, so I know exactly how that kind of all works, and I've seen it happen. And yeah, it's funny how much Monday night is a night for them to go out. So it's always a good turnout, and it's been fun every time we do it. And so you kind of get a little insight into what their interests and kind of their influences are based on the music that they play. And so that's just been fun. We've had full piece bands here, loud and crazy and rowdy and party nights, and then we've also had like really stripped down, more intimate stuff with like Sister Wizard and Dub Nub did a takeover. They did karaoke, which was really funny and super fun.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. So yeah, every single week has been rad and different. And then kind of now that we've been doing it for, I think October was the first full month. So all of October, all of November, and now all of December pretty much. So yeah, I'm kind of circling back around and revisiting some people. So we'll be bringing, like Drew Schaefer will be through here pretty often, at least once a month. Same with Gavin will be coming through. We have sort of a, kind of our pick at the moment, you know, kind of whoever wants to do it.
Yeah. And that's kind of a late night thing too, right? It starts 10?
Pretty much starts around 10. Yeah. The kind of the window that we've allotted is like 10:30 to 1:30. You'll get your entertainment, either live performance or they'll be spinning tunes and playing a playlist, or some people have brought records, you know, kind of just depends on how into it they are. But yeah, more or less like 10 to close, you know, they do last call around here like 2:30. So
yeah,
it is a late night thing.
Right. That's, that is cool though, the DJ aspect of it. I was invited by, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, something, but I got invited by Vintage Vinyl to guest DJ over there for Record Store Day.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, it was just, it was really a neat opportunity, obviously, to you know, just to be a part of the day and be invited on behalf of the show and stuff.
Yeah.
But, and I wanted to, like, obviously tie it in. Since I was invited for the show, I wanted to spend, you know, local music. So I just made a CD.
Sure. That's a great idea.
I handpicked a couple of guests from the show, and then I kind of dropped in all their little plugs, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So it was a nice little
awesome
thing, but
that's why we love you, Shane.
Yeah. But it was just a really a cool thing. But it's, you know, it's fun just to be a part of that, and like just to kind of get you here, you know, especially being able to pull some deeper cuts or play something that maybe not everybody knows, and then having somebody go, "Hey man, what was that?" You know,
for like, sure.
And that was I got to do that a little bit of that with the, you know, like I played a song and for my buddies, like I think like Driving Wheel or something or whatever, and I, you know, people were coming up and asking me like about it, and like, and that's
awesome.
So that's a really cool thing if you can kind of turn some people on that way with new music or for friends of yours or whatever it is. And
for sure.
And hey,
what's up?
What up, homie?
What up?
How are you?
Are you doing your thing?
Oh yeah, we're doing a thing.
What up, internet? yeah, it's a cool idea. It's,
sure.
I think it's fun. It's, I think that it's a good opportunity for, like, you know, anybody can, like, put in Arctic Monkeys, like, Pandora, and
right,
you'll get a big variety. You'll get your, like, you'll hear songs you like, and you'll hear a bunch of stuff that's good, good bar music, whatever.
Yeah.
Something that Atomic does that I like is the DJ takeover. Brother Lee's done it before, and it's basically just Josh and Sean and I kind of just hang out and, you know, like, make appearance there, I guess, and socialize and whatever. But it's fun, man. You get up there and you just pick, I think it's music that represents the band, but it's also just, like, music you want to hear. So if you've come to Atomic Cowboy and you've experienced, like, a late night, just, like, bass-heavy dance sort of scenario here,
yeah,
I think, at least I always thought, some people I've talked to have said the same thing, like, man, I've always wanted to pick the music to play in here. Like, I think it'd be so cool to be able to control this big, crazy system.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's just been fun. It's
sure,
it's cool. And it's a fun, just, like, I've always been really into kind of, like, a weekly, like, before all this started happening, I would go see Neil C. Luke and Drew play Barbecue Saloon, and then they've picked over at Layla now, picked up over there. Neil still does Open Mic at Venice. There's just always something to go do. Blue Pearl used to be the spot on Tuesday. And so it was just fun. Like, Thursday would be, like, jazz jam at Layla. And Friday and Saturday are, like, regular shows. And then Sunday is, like, maybe a day off. And then Monday you can go do this. Tuesday you can go catch this. So it's fun. I like having a night of the week that's kind of just, like, a guarantee get-together. If nothing else, I'm going to go out and, you know, maintain that kind of, like, contribution to the you know, music that's happening on this street, and in some fashion, you know, in some way. And so it's just fun, dude. It's, they give you a lot of room to, like, be yourself around here, and, you know, they let me kind of, like, just, you know, it's a very flattering when someone recognizes what you're doing and then asks you to bring what you're doing to their establishment. So,
yeah,
you know, that's kind of the way that it's been happening for me. So I'm just stoked on it, man. Just an opportunity to set up, and just, you know, provide a cool place for me and my friends to go hang out at.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and having a guy, you know, like Drew and stuff that are, like, giving you the opportunity to do this and, like,
totally.
And express that creativity, you know, if it's whatever it is. But, yeah, he's, like, giving you kind of free range to have fun with it on a Monday. And, like, that's
for sure.
A really neat opportunity. So, yeah, man, that's I'm proud of you guys, and I'm happy for you. I'm glad it's all working out, man. This is
thanks,
fun, fun stuff. So it's
for
exciting
sure.
to see my friends being successful, you know, especially stuff they love doing. So.
Totally. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
So yeah, we're talking about Jackal Fest. It was kind of the kickoff to a lot of this stuff, and
mm-hmm.
like, which was a great party.
Totally.
A lot of fun. Hopefully we'll be doing it again this summer,
totally.
Coming up in 2017.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Sometime in July.
Yeah. But you, after all that got rolling, you decided to start up this That Rat Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a lot of what That Rat Mondays is booked under that under your production and stuff. And
yeah.
but, yeah, is that I mean, you're going to just continue to build that brand? Are you going to be doing other stuff outside of things, or what are you
looking? I mean, in general, having a production like company, you know, is something that has always been kind of like something I felt like I could maybe get into and start, like, I don't know, like pushing all my efforts towards and maybe kind of build something, like you said, to build a brand. The band that I'm in full time kind of has its own steam, and it's got its own everything that's kind of like been established between me and, you know, those involved. So it's like, it's cool to like have something all on my own, separate, to do with I want, you know. And the whole rat thing came from a friend of mine. Just, it was like a joke, but he said, "You're like that rat Danny from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one." And Danny the rat is the guy that tells on the turtles,
yeah.
and like go and tell Shredder about it. So anyway, I don't know, they were talking about me being like a narc or something, or me like being a weasel. That was just like a joke. And so That Rat and rat, whatever, that's like just a term of endearment that me and my friends all use.
Yeah.
Kind of just got lumped into this, like, oh, what's up, rats? Like, it's like when you see your buddies out, and it's just like all the dirtbag musician friends that you see.
Right.
So it just became this thing, and yeah, I just wanted to kind of like coin a phrase that would let people know that I'm doing something with it. I'm either booking it, or I'm promoting it, or if I didn't set it up, I'm at least stoked on it, and they're people that I believe in. It's a band that I value and think is worth going to see. So
sure.
It's kind of like, it's always felt like a bit egotistical. I think that's why I stayed away from it. I think my thinking was like, nobody's that interested in what I'm interested in. But I'm also at that point where I've been in the city for a couple years. I'm kind of, you know, getting rooted in what I'm doing. So I'm at least trying to, like, if I'm in it and I'm going to do it, I'm going to try to do it right. And I know that it takes a long time to build up a brand, build up a name, build up a association, or, you know, a reputation. So I figure it's as good a time as any to kick it off and,
yeah.
you know, at least see what I can do with it.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, I'll be, you know, I'll just kind of do whatever... whatever I can, really. Manchester's kind of really all I'm booking right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see, man. I don't know.
I love the logo too. With just that, you know, that like typical Halloween rat decoration kind
yeah,
of thing. Like
totally.
And it reminded me of and you know, I've seen pictures also. You know, it looks like you put them on the stage or something.
Oh, yeah, my little Halloween. You go to the dollar store
right.
like, anytime leading up to Halloween, and they have rat stuff
yeah.
for $1. So, yeah,
right.
I bought like 50,
yeah.
of course, you know.
in high school, I had my first car was a 88 Crown Vic station wagon and with wood panels, and I had, you know, I had the hood ornament there, and we found this rat in the basement
mm-hmm.
or whatever, and we decided it would be funny to... put it on my hood, so we had like, so I had like taped it on around my hood ornament,
mm-hmm.
and so I just, you know, as I'm cruising down the road, this rat like at stop signs, it would just be like right there on the hood, and then as I'm driving, it would like lean back, you know, because of the wind.
Oh yeah, sure.
So it was just funny, like when you you know, I'm cruising up to the stop and then like slings right back up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, so, but anyway, it was just, it was definitely a head turner, man. People knew that was my car, and they,
totally.
You know, that you don't see a lot of guys just cruising around town with a rat,
a big gnarly duct taped
to their hood, yeah.
Totally. So, well, and, that's part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the decorations and the, just the, I don't know, it's just fun, dude.
Yeah.
I had, we had a gift exchange, you know, what with Christmas being just a few days ago, my brother's girlfriend found this old, like, again, it's just a beat up old Halloween decoration of a rat, and it's just like a big stuffed one, and it is so gnarly. She like sewed it back together, the tail was coming off. This thing was definitely like left to be like thrown away or whatever. And so she like, it was just, you'd have to see it all. It's at my house right now. I'll have to bring it around sometime. Maybe I'll have it at Rat Fest.
Yeah.
But it's this big, fat, disgusting, gnarly, just like, yeah. He's got yellow teeth and like red eyes and stuff. Yeah, it's funny. I can't get away from it now. Everybody I see calls me Rad. And
yeah.
It's just, I guess I was asking for
it. Run for it. Run with it, man. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So it's fun. It's super fun.
It is funny how you're saying that, you know, the everybody, it's a, you know, a term of endearment for you guys, but
yeah.
it is funny how
it totally is.
How much people you know, you shit all over your friends, but you love them. You know, it's like,
absolutely,
you call them the worst names, but it's out of love. You know, and it's like,
sure.
It is funny how we do that, and like, yeah. But
it's very much like high school.
Definitely,
sure. Definitely feels that way. You know, and you know that stuff doesn't go away. Being in a band is much like you and your loser friends in high school hanging out, making fun of each other. It's the same thing. You're just adults playing music, doing the same shit. You know.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean, I've never had so much support in like a music scene, and you know, I've been playing around for, it's been a long time. I've just been a musician for a long time. So kind of seen different groups come and go, and you kind of run with a crowd for a while. And sometimes your bands stop playing together and you lose touch. And, there's just a lot of people out here right now that are, just hardworking, man. There's a lot of hardworking musicians mm-hmm. in the city, and everybody that I'm just, you know, able to be affiliated with through the production company, whatever you want to call it, like booking in general, everybody is just cool and legit and professional, and it's what they do for a majority of their living, and they like to do it, they want to be there, they're excited about it, and they're professional, you know? Like,
sure.
I had Gavin doing Monday last week, and he was just killing it. He was, like, emceeing in between, talking everybody up, plugging the whole brand and stuff, which is not something I like. I didn't even encourage him to do it. It was not my idea. It was 100% his. So the support is there, and it's just rad. I'm happy that people are happy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's cool, man. I've gotten a little bit of that, you know.
I definitely think you have. I've seen it, you know. You've definitely continued to peak and move upward, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I go to a show and, like, I walk in, sometimes people will be like, hey, Shane,
yeah.
You know, hey, check out his show. You know, it's like...
Totally.
So it's just, you know, like you're saying, even if Gavin plugging you while he's at your show, it's just, it's still cool. Like,
sure.
It's just, it feels good to...
It does.
That people, you know, that mutual respect and people that, you know, admire what you're doing and things. So.
Totally. You know, everybody wants to be accepted by their peers and understood and liked and, you know... appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just you know, that's how the music scene has always been to me. It's the furthest from a competition. It's not like that. It used to be like that. I think a long, long time ago it was more like that in the city, and or at least I saw it that way as a teenager, but I mean, it's just not. I mean, everybody in the city is either collaborating in some way, or they all know each other. Like,
right.
Everybody. Like, you just came in here and told me that you knew people working behind the bar.
Yeah,
you know, and it's
sure.
just like everybody runs in the same circle, knows each other. So there's really no advantage to, you know, burning bridges or having enemies in this town. Like, there's really no reason to do that.
Yeah.
You won't get anywhere. You got to be yourself and represent yourself and loyal to, like, where you are and who you are, I guess, as far as your venue or you know, there is a level of professionalism that you have to keep there, but in general, I mean, I just, everybody's so cool and chill. It's like,
sure.
I can't think of easier people to get along with than, you know, who's running the shows. And
mm-hmm.
just everybody in St. Louis right now is kind of like doing their own thing. There's a bunch of venues popping up. Sinkhole is killing it, another great venue that just came out. And you know, there's just like rebranding, and like Bootleg Here is going through, like, you know, like, it's kind of like it's being reinvented in a way by having someone like me on board and other people that are kind of getting affiliated and like doing different things with an already existing venue, you know. Yeah. Something like Del Mar Hall popping up where it's just like new, brand new. I mean, that place is so squeaky clean, new. Right. It's crazy, but it's so cool. It's great. It's a big, huge venue that's like there for local bands, which I think is great. I love that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Supporting the scene like they are, you know.
Yeah, that's what means the most to me is that these people are actually supporting the arts in the city here. We got, you know, like I said, there's tons of great talent in this town, and it's nice to see people are actually giving people stages to play on and stuff. So
totally. And you know, like the one with that was the nicest stage I've ever played, hands down, with the biggest production. Just, you know, I mean, you play a lot of different places in St. Louis. If you're out gigging weekly, you'll play basement shows, you'll play venues, you'll play a lot of the same places twice, three times, four times. But it's just how everybody does it and how they continue to do it. That's what makes them special. And then kind of just like, you know, again, that whole challenge of creativity, like what can you do differently? Because you'll see a bar venue open up, have shows for a while, and then close. And it's like, it's a shame, like what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I think that's something we're all chasing after. It's either like, you know, the longevity of being able to be a musician in St. Louis and get paid to play and, you know, make a living that way, or I feel like me and all my friends all have like a plan B, which is like opening a venue or opening a restaurant, or maybe we'll have like a 24-hour diner that also has a venue in it, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's a bunch of schemers in town, which is cool. So I'm happy to be in that, you know, that group.
That's that's something I don't know. It's definitely a long-term goal, but I would love to get into something like that. Do my own venue and be able to, you know, have my, you know, start booking my own. The theory behind it would be, you know, stop going to shows and just bring all the shows to me, kind of.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I know what you mean.
Hopefully, I don't know. I've never owned a business. Never done. You know,
sure.
The only real like booking I've done for besides my own show was Oyster Bar.
Your birthday shows.
Where I had you guys come down there and stuff, and that was like the first real events I've done. So
cool. No, that was a great time, man. Yeah, I thought that was our one and only show we've ever done at Oyster Bar. We had never played there before, so happy to do that.
Yeah, that was a good party, man.
That was, man. And Oyster Bar is a great spot too. It really is.
But hopefully, I can expand on that, and like I'm hoping also with the podcast and stuff, and all these relationships I've built over the years. Like, I mean, obviously. To start any new project is a lot of networking and stuff, so hopefully, but I don't know, it's like I said, it's a lot of dreaming, but hopefully we'll get there one of these days.
Well, to me, that stuff just kind of happens organically, like, you can't exactly, you know, some people make a list of things they want to do and mark them off the list, and other things kind of just happen, opportunity arises, and, you know, that's how booking has happened for me. I was always just wanting to play shows. And I'm a drummer, so I can't really. That's all I play. I've never been any sort of songwriter in that aspect. I've just been a full-time drummer since I was like 13. So just wanting to play all the time and tour and just always be in a venue, I just constantly wanted to book. And so it just led me to looking for shows and trying to, where can we play? Asking people, can my band please play there, you know? And then when you have enough successes and you do it and you go there and you have a good time and you meet the, you know, you meet the staff and you have a good event, they're happy, you're happy, your friends are happy, everybody's happy, you know, they'll ask you back. And after years of doing that, it kind of just like it starts to book itself, and you know, so I still do the books for Brother Lee, but it's pretty manageable at this point, you know, like between offers we get and then the ones we're kind of out there looking for, you know, and then through the shows you play and something like Whiskey Warfest, you play with 30 other bands, you meet so many people, so many contacts, then before you know it, you know, a couple days later, you needed somebody for this, well, oh, I just met that guy, oh, yeah, what's his band? His band would be perfect for that, you know, and it makes it really easy, it really does. Jackal Fest was 100% like a Whiskey War kind of like reincarnate as far as like the style and the delivery. Like I just learn a lot from what they did. And I know the Manus Brothers really well and respect what they do with that festival. They've been doing it for years. So, yeah, it's funny how interested I had a lot of the same bands that were playing Whiskey War confirmed for Jackal Fest. So it was cool. You know, they're down. And
yeah.
Nobody's afraid of playing too much lately. Like, Bruiser Queen and us played last night. We're going to play with them again next week. Bruiser Queen's playing, I think, this Saturday at, or I guess that's tomorrow, at Off-Broadway for like a New Year's show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, there's a lot of ambition going around with that, and everybody's still playing a lot. So it's it's cool, you know, it just never really slows down. And when it does, it's for good reason, or, you know.
But yeah, I think a lot of that, you know, you're saying how all this, people want to work together and stuff, but I think a lot of that could easily go downhill very fast, you know, if,
totally.
If somebody, if it's not, you know, executed right. Or somebody's just a dick or whatever, you know, there's a lot of things,
sure.
variables, but the fact, I think, that, you know, speaks volumes to your character and Brother Lee and the professionalism that you guys carry yourself with, you know, booking the shows and stuff. I mean, people want to be surrounded by you guys, so, you know, they want to be around and playing these shows and stuff, and like...
Totally.
So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, it's, like I said, it's just cool to see this community continue to build and...
Yeah.
And strive together, and, you know, there's, like I said, everybody's wanting to play,
yeah.
and they all want to grow together.
Absolutely.
So,
well, and there's no really satisfaction in just success all on your own, and, you know, I mean, I guess that sounds cliche, and I don't think we're by any means too big for anything at this point, but yeah, it's, you know, it's like you always want to. It's just not the same without your crew there and your friends
right,
and the
sure.
people who've been going to your shows since, you know, you started. And that's, the vibes were like that last night. It was a very, like, nostalgic feeling with Bruiser Queen because, you know, like, we went out of town with them and just got to know them in an entirely different way. It's
yeah.
like you have these professional relationships with certain bands where you don't really... Like, sometimes you'll play with a band and you know that you got booked to play with them just because of your reputation. You've never met them or anything,
right.
you know. And then sometimes that's all it is. It doesn't really go any further than that. And then other times you meet them and turns out you have a lot in common. You know, I felt like that's how it was when I met the Manus Brothers. We were doing, Brother Lee was doing Lo-Fi on Cherokee, and they were doing the same thing. And so I went and he was just like, oh, yeah, are you, you're in the Manus Brothers? Everybody keeps telling me my band should play with your band. You
yeah.
know, what's up? You know, and then we just strike up a conversation and it goes from there. But yeah, dude, I mean, it's something that your and I friendship is a perfect example too, you know? I mean, I remember hearing about Rock Paper Podcast and then you either reached out to me or I reached out to you, and then now here it is, fourth time I've done it,
yeah.
and it's on my list of like what's a good, you know, what's a marketing tool that's out there, who can I hit up, who can I ask for help from, and you're one of those people, you know? It's like, oh, Shane will help me out. He'll
yeah.
give me my own, he'll give me my own hour of
Yeah.
opportunity to talk about myself.
Definitely.
You
man.
Know what I mean?
I was actually, I mentioned it a little bit off mic before we started, but I ran into Zach Murphy of Layla and stuff. We were talking last night, but I was telling him the, kind of the backstory about how me and you and Brother Lee became friendly and stuff, but how you guys just started like liking a lot of my stuff on Instagram.
Cool.
And I was like, and what is really funny is you made those stickers now, because like that's almost exactly what I said. I said, "Who the hell is Brother Lee?"
Mm-hmm,
and and so I went. I think I went on Bandcamp and I checked out your guys' EP at the time, and I was like, "How have I not heard these guys yet?
Nice.
Like, this is incredible." And
thanks,
yeah, man. I reached out. We made it happen. We hung out at your practice, and then that's where it all started, man. It was a
totally.
It was a good hang, and we realized we have a lot in common.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of when that was, that actual first podcast at
yeah.
LAMP. It probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah, something. I mean, I've been doing the show 2.5, and yeah, and I think you know, you guys were somewhere in there in that summer. I think so.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. Maybe 2 years this summer, because. Yeah, I don't know. That's just a guess.
But. Yeah, my buddy Jimmy sat in. Jim sat in on that one, and so yeah, it was a good hang, man. And it was like, it's just crazy to think like how far we've both grown. You know,
totally.
In 2 years, how both.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I'm just glad that Brother Lee's still together. I'm glad that I have a new topic of conversation like that rat. I'm
yeah.
glad you're still doing it. Yeah, it's been super busy couple years, and it's just been rad, man, the whole time.
I just pulled it up while we're talking here. Brother Lee was on June 4th, 2015. That was our first first appearance.
Nice. So, yeah, so, 2 years in June.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So we've come a long way now.
Hell yeah,
dude.
A year
and a half or so.
Totally.
But yeah, so again, January 6th, Ready Room, Bruiser Queen, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Old Souls Revival, Rover, all that for $10 to get you in the door.
Yeah.
And, of course, every Monday, over here, the bootleg, Atomic Cowboy, for That Rat Mondays. So mark them on your calendar, come on out, and, you're always making events on, Facebook and stuff so that people can know what's coming up and things, so, make sure to follow That Rat Productions and keep an eye on everything going on there and bootleg page and Atomic Cowboy and
yep.
stuff. So
I'm kind of like in and out of all of it. They, believe it or not, they do give me access to be an admin for the bootleg here, so you'll see some of that stuff pop up. But yeah, man, all the regular places to find and
sure.
keep up. You know, if it's got That Rat on it, it's something affiliated with me or some band that I like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's. That's good too. Like, and it's just it's a good branding. Like I said, it's a name. It's a memorable name. You know, it's not something that sounds like something else or whatever. People know.
Sure, sure.
People know That Rat, and like it works, man. And so
thanks, man.
It's cool to see that everything's going well and things. But yeah, get out here and get involved, people. There's a lot of cool things going on down
Absolutely,
here on,
dude.
In the Grove, and so good music, good food, good people.
Yeah, dude, it starts at 9 a week from today, January 6th. Rover kicks it off. Rover's this badass four-piece, just like leather jacket, AC/DC, just like face-melting rock and roll. Super cool, just really rad band. Cold Souls Revival. They have three electric guitar players now, and just like two of the best guitar players in the whole city. Forever great. They're always sick. Brother Lee will be playing. So we have a new record coming out, so I think we're going to play some new material off that. Kind of enjoy that whole, you know, before the storm kind of vibe. Sitting on some new material, so I think we're going to have fun with that at the fest. And then Bruiser Queen, who also has a permanent bass player now, keyboard player, our friend Amber, who's back in town. And that is something to go see. A lot of people, I think, have seen Bruiser Queen because of how, you know, established they are in the city as a two-piece. And I've been seeing them as a two-piece for years as well. But they rip something different as a mm-hmm. four-piece, and it's cool. It's a whole new thing.
I haven't seen the four-piece, but I saw them as three at Lou Fest and stuff, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, very cool.
I don't think I've seen them since the summer, so it'd be good to catch up with them. So.
Long overdue.
Yeah. But yeah, and again, tickets. I think we got a Ticketfly link. You can check it out there if you want to get them advance, or you can get them at the door. And
wear your black tie wedding. Wear your funeral clothes.
Yeah,
it's death to 2016. Yeah. Fuck you, 2016.
mourning the loss of 2016. Yeah, man, it's been a wild year, man. It's crazy how many people, all these celebrities passing and stuff. All right, man. Well, I guess we'll wrap this thing up again. Come on out, January 6th, Ready Room. You want to play some? You want to play some tunes from any of these bands?
Totally. I think you will hear some Bruiser Queen, maybe some Brother Lee, maybe a little snippet of everybody. I can put in an old soul song, and Rover's got a new EP worth checking out.
Yeah, man, give it a little taste of what to come. But get those tickets. Come on out, party with us, and get involved. St. Louis music. A lot of good stuff going on around town, so come out here. Thanks again to Atomic Cowboy letting us hang out this afternoon. So,
thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thanks, Danny.
Appreciate it, man.
See you, buddy.
Well, if you're looking. Together, and for a while, luck was in our favor. You know, it ain't no lie, the house swallowed us alive. Now we're begging change from strangers. If you ain't got no home, or if you just need somebody to help you feel less alone. Still hear you banging.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.